You can hear its sound, but you never know where it has come, from where it goes. It is the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. No one has ever seen life. No one knows what life is. We only know that it is. You only know that you're alive. If you try to explain life, you're only wasting your time. You're going away from life. You're making an idea in your mind about life when life itself is the only living thing that is. And I am the life. You cannot discern your own consciousness. You can only discern your thoughts. When you want to analyze your consciousness, you will see that you're only analyzing something that is external to your consciousness. Therefore, it is relative. Therefore, you cannot analyze that which is unknowable. And the unknowable, the uncreated, is the only creator. The unknowable is created. That which is created is not created. Therefore, only in the uncreated can you realize the truth. The truth that really is expressing itself now. Therefore, as you do not know what it is, when you create an idea in your mind, you're trying to force life itself into a groove of your own making. But life doesn't form any grooves, nor does it go in any particular pattern that you want it to go. Therefore, you lose the greatness and the great vitality of life itself that is expressing itself now. To know that life is complete in itself because it must be. There can be nothing outside life. Everything must be within life, and life must be within everything, because life is God, and God is life. Because God is infinite in nature, and to be infinite, there can be nothing outside him, and he must be everywhere, otherwise there will be somewhere where he is not. Therefore, he could not be infinite in nature. But science has proved to us the great, wonderful truth, even the basis of matter, which we call the ether of space, is everywhere in the universe. It not only is the basis of matter and the framework in which matter is built, but it also the means through which the vibrations of sound and light are carried throughout the whole of the world and beyond. The lights of the stars, even the influence of the stars that are millions of miles away from us, it's the ether that carries these vibrations of light when we see a little star in the sky, a little light in the sky. Because it's the ether that's being magnetized, it is magnetized by these particular waves, electromagnetic waves, which magnetize the ether and travel at a tremendous speed of 186,000 miles per second. We have not yet understood the great electromagnetic activity that takes place throughout the whole universe. Because everything that is created is electromagnetic. Your bodies are electromagnetic. The atomic structure of all substance is electromagnetic. The vibrations that go out are from a broadcasting station, where you can hear the broadcast at every part of the world at the same time, not only in the surface of the earth, but into the bowels of the earth and away into the stratosphere at the same time. The reason is because the ether is magnetized, and that magnetization travels the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Because ether interpenetrates all substances, it interpenetrates down into the bowels of the earth, right away through into the stratosphere, right away to the planet, right as far as the eye can see. Here then is the basis of all substance which we know as our bodies and matter, and carrying vibrations of light and sound. Not only does that happen through light and sound, but carries vibrations of your own thoughts. The vibrations of your own thoughts are carried through the ether waves, and ether interpenetrating right through the core of the atoms of your body transforms them. That is why fear, anxiety, and all these things cause havoc throughout the whole of your organism. But while the discerning of what you've made up in your mind and how you're reacting to conditions, what you are doing, and as you see what you are doing, these things pass away and dissolve into nothingness, and that which is perfect in itself has created the ether of space. So as if we could create all form, but within the individual is that unknown, uncreated, which is created in itself. And that is the secret of the Christ, the Christ power in man. There is only one Christ power, no matter what name you like to give it, no matter what particular religion the person belongs to, there is only the one power, the one life, and that life in man is the life of God, individualized in man, not separated and distinct from God, but individualized in man is the Christ of God that is born in every being that comes into the world. That is the Word that was in the beginning. That was the Word that was with God, and that very Word was God, and that Word became flesh. When we understand then that this Word is immortal and remains immortal, while the body is a temporary housing, that unknowable, behind all creation, remains forever eternal, the consciousness of the Christ in man. That is then the experience of the individual who can discern his own thoughts and feelings, and who does not create in his own mind some idea or image or follow a particular belief made up with someone else, but discerns for himself what is hindering the expression of this mighty power, this unknowable, perfect thing. And that because it is, that it has not to be, because it is, you do not create it, you do not become it, it is now. And when you cease trying to become and realize your own being now, discerning that which is hindering the expression of that, which in itself is now, eternal and ever present, then I say, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, becomes a reality to you. Now, during the holidays, I took a look at some books on truth. I wanted to see what the writers had to say. Every one of them tried to explain the truth, and each had a different idea. It is very amusing when you read those books, everybody trying to tell what the truth is according to their experiences. And if it proved God because of their own demonstrations. It's so foolish and so stupid. And when you really know the truth, you'll almost feel like putting the book down. But nevertheless, it is good to see what these people have to say. One said that his purpose was to reach God, as God is something away outside himself. All the time he was really going away from God into a mass of ideas which he formulated in his own mind. So in the end, he tried to explain what God was from his own experiences through his own demonstrations. That he proved God because of his demonstration. A demonstration is only the desire of an individual expressing his own thought, and is not proving God in one thing whatsoever. In fact, desire takes you away from the living expression of God. Because God doesn't require any desire. He is complete in himself. And with you, one with the Father, you are complete also. What is mine is thine. What is thine is mine. The Master, in his few words, he showed the totality of the Spirit of God in himself was not only resident in himself, but in every soul. After all, most of us are seeking a way of life, a way of conduct. So we either look to others, to the past, or we try to find a mode of behavior through our own experiences. But are not our experiences conditioned by the past? Therefore, our pattern is conditioned by the past? The past is in the mind. The past is an experience of the mind. But reality is not the past. Reality is not an experience. Reality is the living thing that you see now before you. You do not see the real life, but you see the expression of life. And when Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, he gave the truth. So we see, the past is a memory. And if the ever-present is conditioned by the past, how can your mind be able to express that which in itself is complete? You identify yourself with your memories. You identify yourself with the past. You identify yourself with your experiences. You identify yourself with your hopes, your desires. You identify yourself because you condemn this, you condemn that. You can identify yourself with your fear on all that. But don't you see that these things are made up in your mind, and reality has got nothing at all to do with them in any way whatsoever? Reality is a living expression of life, of the eternal, now. And if you cleanse your minds completely and see what the past, the future, is in your mind, is not a reality, is not the ever-living present. The ever-living present is always present. The past is a memory, the future is a hope. You build these things in your mind. But reality in itself is ever-present, free, freedom. And only in freedom from the mind, from the past, from your images, from your ideas, from your experiences, can this, which is eternal and ever-present, be experienced in yourself. One time in the silence, you will probably experience that tremendous, wonderful realization of this that is eternal. You will not know what it is, but this moment in the other present, in that silence of your mind, you will feel that tremendous, ever-present, eternal livingness when the mind is quiet, when there is no movement whatsoever in the mind. In that silence, then, is this experience. That moment, that flash of a moment, gone. You try to recapture it. It's a memory now. You try to recapture it. You try to live it over again. Foolish. That experience becomes a memory. Are you trying to repeat the memory? That ever-present is ever-present. And in the silence, you can hear it, and you will know it again, and again, and again. And then it'll become a living presence in you. Then there is no need to try and recapture those moments, but live them eternally now. No matter how great our experiences are, we are conditioned by the past, and any new experience must only strengthen the past. If we look to another, or to the past, are we not forcing the extraordinary vitality of life into a mold, a particular shape, and thereby lose the richness of life itself? We must find out clearly what we mean by a purpose. If my purpose is to reach God, I must know God. I must have the measure and depth of God. But this is impossible. If my mind is caught up in my experiences of the past, of what I have heard from others, can I find reality by this means? Can I know what reality is when all I have is an idea, a belief, an experience, a memory, which I call reality? Is your memory a reality? Is your experience a reality? Experience is something of the past. To continually experience reality, you must lose the past, and the experience of the past must dissolve into the past and be forgotten, while that which is ever-present will always be expressing itself. That is the eternal Christ in you. If I could only hand it to you in a plate, but that is impossible because you have to find it out yourself. The truth that I have would be of no value to you because you would just be imitating something that I have. Therefore, you are trying to experience something that I have. But that is not the way. You have to experience this yourself. And therefore, you have to discern what is false. And you will discern these things that are false. And once you discern that which is false, the false will fall away. Your beliefs are built upon some idea of another individual. Is your belief reality? If I could cleanse your mind, clear your mind of everything, so it would be clear. Jesus said these words so wonderful and so true. Unless ye accept the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. A little child has no beliefs, he has no ideas. These experiences in the past and the future are not in his mind. Therefore, as Jesus was given to you, the great truth, the example of a little child that was free from these things. And unless ye accept the kingdom of God as a little child, ye shall not enter therein, because your mind will be preventing you from doing so. Look at the world today. Is the world seeking the truth? Of course it's not. They're only seeking their ways out of their difficulties that they created themselves. And the more confusion you have, the more leaders you have. When you are not confused, you don't need a leader. It is when you are confused that you want a leader to put you right. But your leaders are very often more confused than yourselves. So, as Jesus said, the blind lead the blind and they all fall into the ditch. If reality is unknown, how can the mind that is caught up find reality? If my mind is clouded and burdened with the known, it can only measure according to its own conditioning, its own limitation, and therefore can never know the unknown. What I know is reality. Therefore, if I try what I know to express that which is unknown, I can never do so, because I'll be expressing that which is unknown according to my own limitation. But the unknown has no limitation. Therefore, if I clear my mind of the things and the beliefs and the ideas and images, then that which is real will express itself. Look at the many religions in the world today, where people are murdering one another because of the religion. Is it not because of the belief, the idea of the religion, that they are murdering one another? Let us take away then from their minds all the images and ideas and beliefs in their religion, and discern what is false, and the false will pass away and dissolve into nothingness, and that which is real in itself, which is love and wisdom, will manifest in every human soul. So it is not to overcome our difficulties that we require an understanding, but an understanding to obtain the truth of the living, one living God that lives in every human soul. I can never reach the unknown if my mind is conditioned through an idea of what reality is. My reality will still conform to my idea. But reality does not conform to any idea or belief. If I free my mind from the past, from ideas, from beliefs and desires that condition it, through discerning clearly that the purpose I had was measured according to the dictates upon my own conditioning, that discernment will lead to freedom, and freedom alone is reality. I will see then that I must free my mind from ideas, from the illusions of the different denominations and beliefs. I must free my mind entirely from these beliefs, from tradition, from the experiences of others, what other people have to say or has to say. I must free myself completely, because there is no other authority except that which is living within myself. There is no authority external to yourself. Never will and cannot be. The only authority is the Christ that dwells, is the living expression of God himself, which is love, wisdom, and power, which is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, which is unknown, which is the uncreated. And in that uncreated is the creativeness in you and me. And by it, so all things are created. Paul said, things are not made out of things that are seen, but out of that which are unseen. To find out the purpose of life, the mind must be free of measurement. Otherwise, you can only project your own want. Your desire creates the purpose. But that is not the purpose of life. Then it is obvious that the first thing to do is to free the mind from its own conditioning. That very freedom itself is the purpose, because it is only in freedom that one can discover the truth of anything. If your mind is prejudiced, if you have knowledge, and you think that knowledge is binding, that's complete, it binds you. Therefore, you are prejudiced against anything else that comes into your mind. A mind that is expansive, a mind that is pliable, is a mind that receives new knowledge and is not caught up in the concrete ideas of a belief or which sustains that particular knowledge as a concrete fact, because old knowledge must always give way to new knowledge. People said, they laughed at us when somebody said that we would be flying great ships in the air. They laughed at the man who said that he was going to float an iron ship on the water. They went down to see this iron ship fall into the bottom of the sea. But when the ship sailed on the water, they were amazed. So it is. Everything that is new that has come into the world today has been decried first. It is impossible. It cannot be. But surely, to goodness, we have had enough lessons already to know that there is hardly anything that is impossible. We are finding out more and more about the structure of matter. We are finding all about the atom. We are finding how its combination can be divided and disintegrated, that the energy within it can be expressed or changed into something else, and in the doing so, create havoc and destruction, or it can also do the very opposite. We have not yet touched the fringe of what electricity can do. We have not even touched the fringe of what life can do. We have not even entered into the small particle of knowledge of what the electromagnetic power in the universe can do. If we had the law in our own hands and how to use it, we could fly to Venus in 2 or 3 hours. In the moon, we could deliver ourselves there in 30 minutes. We could travel through the space if we use this electromagnetic power, because we could travel even more than 186,000 miles per second. We could travel at millions of miles per second. So the first requisite is freedom, and not seeking a purpose of life. So if you're free, life's own purpose will express itself. But freedom only comes when we can discern what we have made up in our minds, our ideas, our beliefs, our experiences, our memories of the past, our antagonisms, our hates, our jealousies, our greed, our craving, and all the complications we create through our reaction to people and things. If life is surrounded by all these, then we'll be giving expression to them, and not to reality. And that's what the people are doing today, is it not? They're giving expression to their hates, their beliefs, their antagonisms, their different ideology, their nationality. If they could see that these things are false, then they would dissolve away. And love and wisdom, which is eternal and ever-present, would express it. But these things, you see, are hindering the expression of that which is real in itself. How simple is the truth, how difficult it is for the individual whose mind is conditioned to give expression to it. But when we have discerned that which is preventing the expression of reality, we will free ourselves. Then life's creativeness, its own self-expression, love and wisdom, will be our experience. Therefore, it is of no value to inquire into the purpose of life if we are not capable of understanding ourselves. Only in my relationship with others will I understand my relationship to others, to ideas, to things. How could I go further if I do not understand this? And with my relationship with others, my association with others, I will begin to understand myself. I will see how I think. What are my emotions, my reactions to people and things? Then I will begin to discern what I am doing. I will see the falseness of these things. I will see the hates, the antagonisms, the jealousies, the envies. I will see all these things. I will know them to be false, created in my own mind. Out of what? My craving for something. Craving for something goes away from reality. Craving means a lack, that you things that you haven't got. But in reality, reality is everything. Jesus took a fish out of the sea and took the money out of its mouth. He fed the multitude, adding a few loaves and fishes. He walked upon the water. He healed as easy as he breathed. He knew there was no death and became free from the fear of death. Why do you want to live? Why do you want a continuity of life? If you knew that life was a continuity already, would you want it? You would know it was, isn't it so? But you don't want a continuity of life. You want a continuity of all the good things you get round here. It isn't that you want a continuity of life. But if you knew that life itself was eternal and ever-present, you would not seek a continuity, because you would know that life is eternal. I must understand life around me, in me, otherwise my self becomes merely an escape from everyday action. As most of us do not understand our everyday actions and reactions, life becomes a drudgery, pain, suffering, anxiety, and we pray to God for an escape from it. So what we really want is a drug to put us to sleep so that we do not feel the aches and pains of life. But a drug to put you to sleep doesn't cure you of your aches and pains of life. It is only by discerning the cause of them. And by discerning, we'll find the causes within ourselves. And when you understand yourself, self-knowledge is the beginning of freedom. We have an ideal, a pattern which we want to follow. Surely, that is only conformity. The mind seeks to be secure in order not to be disturbed. Such a mind is dead. Awareness is life. Awareness is always aware. Aware of your thoughts, your reactions. Aware if you're conditioning yourself and how you're being conditioned. And that awareness, you can free yourself. But if you're caught up in your conditioning, how can you free yourself? It is only in your awareness that you can free yourself, and not being caught up in the conditioning, because you'll express that conditioning and not reality. So you can say to yourself, I am the father one a million times, be of no value to you. It becomes just an idea. You carry, take back into your own cage the prison you've made for yourselves. Real happiness comes with understanding. If I have a true understanding of my relationship with others, with things, out of that understanding comes joy. Then life itself is a joy, a richness. And with that richness, one can go further. But without that foundation, you cannot build. Happiness comes easily when there is no friction, either in us or about us. And friction ceases only when there is understanding of things in their proper place and in their right values. To know this, you must find out the working of your own mind first. But if you do not know your own mind, how can you discover the right value of anything? If you don't understand the working of your mind, how can you understand yourself? With this understanding, there is confidence. It is the lack of confidence that causes confusion. The more imitative we are, the less confidence we have, for we have made life into a copybook. From early childhood, we've been told what to do. We follow a tradition, a way laid down for us to imitate. Only when we have seen the stupidity of this can you have the confidence to find out for yourself. So you do not believe and accept what another person tells you. You have to find these things out for yourself. If you accept what another person says, you're an imitator. And in imitation, you cannot free yourself. You're caught up in your imitation, in your beliefs. Then you will gain the extraordinary inward certainty to know what is truth and what is not. This confidence comes not from knowing what others say, but from knowing your own thoughts and feelings and what is happening in yourself and around you. When we know our own thoughts, feelings, experiences, memories, their truth, their falsehood, their significance, their absurdity, then we can clear up the whole field of confusion, which is ourselves. With the end of this confusion comes confidence and freedom. And in this freedom is reality itself. It is no longer an idea or a formulation of the mind, but truth itself, freed from all illusion. God is. Doesn't have to be. If I create an idea of him in my mind, what have I got of him but an idea? An idea of the truth is not the truth. The living God is now. In that moment of silence, when the mind has dissolved everything away, when thinking ceases, when the mind has ceased to be disturbed, when thinking ceases, then in that silence is the life intelligence itself, the creativeness behind all creation. Is it not because we are confused that we want a leader? But can there ever be right leadership? What we should be doing is to help each other to understand the confusion that exists in the mind heart. With this understanding comes freedom and truth. A true leader is one that does that very thing, that helps one to understand the confusion that exists in the mind heart. It is only when we do not want to understand confusion that we run away from it and turn to a leader or someone even more confused than ourselves to lead us. If we are trying to find an answer, then we'll be caught up in the confusion. Only when we can look at that confusion without trying to find a way out of it,
Can we understand how to clear it up?
Then we will be as free as the air. We will love. We will not follow. We will not need any leaders. Then will come a society that will lead to permanent peace through love and understanding. We will love and understand. And we will understand one another. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And unless we can realize the truth of that, there can be no permanent peace in the world. First of all, its ideologies. First of all, it was nations who were fighting. Now we're really coming to ideologies. Therefore, two particular types of ideologies have come into operation. But during the process of all these large separations between two groups, the East and the West, there's number of different groups that are all fighting, separating one another and struggling with one another over their beliefs and their ideas, their religions, their nationalities, their traditions. My God, what are we all coming to? Is it not confusion? We don't need a way out of confusion. We have got to understand the confusion. And the confusion will cease. And that which is will give expression to itself. Let us look at the world today. People are not seeking the truth. They're only trying to find a way out of the difficulties. And that's the misery of it all. We want leaders to direct us, to pull us along, to force us, to make us conform, which inevitably leads to destruction and greater suffering. We refuse to see the cause of suffering which is happening before our eyes. So we want a right leader to put us right. Is this not the height of immaturity? For there's no such thing as a right leader. Does not leadership denote the deterioration of society? A leader in society is a destructive element. And the sooner we know that, the better. The world is in the verge of a catastrophe and is rapidly disintegrating. And merely to find another leader, a new president, a new Churchill, a new Stalin, a different God, and so on, is utterly useless. Because being confused, we can only choose according to our conditioning of our minds, which are confused. So we choose according to our confusion, our conditioning. We want a new leader, and we choose a leader because we are confused. And you see what I am showing you now, why it is necessary to cleanse the mind, to see that which is false. That which is real will take its place. What we have to do is to clear out our own confusion through understanding it, so that confusion may be set aside. When we understand ourselves, then we will begin to see clearly. Without self-knowledge, we will be eternally caught up in confusion. Therefore, it is most important at this time that the individual begins with him herself. And the moment we understand confusion, we will be free from it. And how can we understand ourselves most? By our association with others. How do you think? How do you act? Start tomorrow morning when you meet the person or the boy at the door, the person going down the street, the cabman, the guard, whatever the case may be, the boss, somebody with a good suit, somebody in rags, a drunkard and so forth. See how you feel, what you think, how you react to conditions. You'll begin to understand yourself. Now, I told you before clearly that everything is made up within yourselves. What you see, what you hear, you make up within your own minds. What do you receive? You only receive the vibrations of light, vibrations of sound. Those light vibrations passes into the eye, through the optic nerves, through the optic thalamus, into the optic center, back into the various other compartments of the brain, and with the memory cells and the means of association, you build a picture in your own mind. That is what you see in your neighbor, you have it yourself, you build it up in yourself, you can't build it up outside yourself. So what you see in your neighbor is deeply rooted in yourself. Then the great truth is to see the falseness of all these things that are not real, to see the reality in itself that is life. That is love, that is wisdom. Therefore, there is the expression of this life that is eternal. All power. You can change the water into wine. For the power of the transportation of your own thought. By the transforming of the very atoms that are in one particular thing into another. Man has not yet grasped 1,000,000,000th part of the power that is inherent within him. And he never will know what he is in confusion. Jesus said, these things I do, even greater things shall you do, if you will but understand.
Therefore, it is not an escape from confusion we need, but the understanding of the cause of confusion, which is ourselves.
John 15:5-10.
I am the vine,
you are the branches.
He who remains in me, as I in him, bears rich fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you keep my commands, you remain within my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain within his love.
Benediction.
O eternal one, thou alone art life, ever present everywhere, ever expressing thyself in all thy creation. O mighty one, I searched in vain in the highways and the byways, and could not find thee until I dissolved my own creation. Thou, O benign one, I felt thy presence, I knew thy love and wisdom was also mine. Now I know the meaning of the words, a branch cannot bear fruit, unless it abides on the vine, O divine one.